love the context of John chapter 12. For before it is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, and that's John chapter 11. The story of the raising of Lazarus. It's referenced there in verse 1 of chapter 12, an incredible verse. It says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead." Don't you love that phrase? Only when Jesus comes into the picture could you ever say of someone, "which had been dead." Amen. But then it goes on to say, "whom He raised from the dead." And it talks about here that they made a supper for Him. They made a supper, and Martha served. And that's we know that's what Martha did. Amen. Martha served. That was her what she did. Her gift was service. And but then it also says, "and Lazarus." But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." I have a habit. It's not the kind of habit I'm trying to break. It's actually the kind of habit that I try to keep. I like to get my wife flowers. All the wives right now are turning toward their husbands. Amen. Let me just tell you a few negatives about flowers. And fellas, you can feel free to say amen, but you don't have to swing from the chandeliers. Flowers are expensive. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Amen. It's true. They are. Flowers are not very practical. Flowers do not last very long. I like to joke, I usually get my flowers at Sam's. They have nice flowers there. And I like to joke with the lady that signs your receipt. And when she says, "my, what beautiful flowers." And I almost always say, "it's cheaper than alimony." I always say that. Amen. But I want to tell you one of the positives about flowers. When you think about the negatives, if flowers say, "I love and care about you so much that I'm willing to spend a decent deal of money on something that will only last a few days to bring some fragrance into your life." That's what flowers say. I want you to notice something, if you would. I want you to notice the method of Mary's love. Look at it here. First of all, it was demonstrated publicly. It says there in verse 3 that Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You say, "well, what do you mean, Pastor, that it was public?" Look at verse 9. "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that He was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom He raised from the dead." There was a whole bunch of people here, and she broke open this box of ointment of spikenard, very costly. She didn't care who was there. She didn't care what they thought. She didn't care what they were saying about her. She wanted everybody to know that she loved Jesus. I'll tell you, that's something that's missing in our day. The public demonstration of love. Do you want everybody to know that you love Jesus? Matthew chapter 10 verse 32 says, "Whoso therefore shall confess Me before men, him will I confess also before My Father which is in heaven." Luke chapter 12 verse 8 says, "Whosoever shall confess Me before men, him shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God." I think sometimes Satan has buttoned our lip, and it's because our love is cold. We don't care if people know that we love Jesus. Brother Paul Vanneman, a wonderful man of God, he pastored in Waterford, Michigan for years, Dixie Baptist Church. He was an instructor at Midwestern Baptist College prior to my time there. He was in Costa Rica. He went to see some of his preacher boys in Costa Rica, and they were out enjoying the ocean, and he got caught in what's called a riptide. And the riptide pulled him out, and if you know anything about riptides, the harder you swim, the further you get pulled out. And Brother Vanaman began to drown, and one of his preacher boys was coming and trying to save him. And the last words Paul Vanaman said were this: "Daryl, I love you, and I love Jesus." And he went to be with him. Dr. Curtis Hudson, powerful preacher of the Word of God, editor of the Sword of the Lord, built a great church in Georgia. As he was on his dying bed with prostate cancer, suffering greatly, he began to sing that wonderful hymn that's in our hymnal, "Jesus is all the world to me." And the last words that he breathed, Pastor Donald, was the last stanza of the chorus: "Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all." You know what? She demonstrated her love publicly. Not only was it demonstrated publicly, the method of her love, but it was extremely personal. It was not only public, but it was extremely personal. Look at verse number 3, please. It says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair." I wasn't married very long until I learned the great lesson that women care a lot about their hair. It takes a long time for a lady sometimes to do their hair. It's okay, you can smile, you can say amen. That's true, amen. I like what Brother Hiles said. Brother Hiles said, "I wouldn't hire a guy that takes more than 30 seconds to comb his hair." I like that about God. We just... And some of you don't have that problem, amen, because there's nothing up there, amen. But for a lady, they care a lot about their hair. Listen, they go to get their hair washed. They comb their hair. They curl their hair. They style their hair. They set their hair. They perm their hair. Now think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus had been walking a good portion of the day. He'd been walking. His feet were probably dirty and sweaty. Think about it, folks. Jesus had a human nature just like you and I do. Amen. He got tired, all of that. And yet, Mary wiped His feet with her hair. She was willing to use her hair to bring some comfort to the Son of God. It was extremely personal. You know what you do when you get alone with God every day, and you, if we could say it this way, you reaffirm your love relationship with God? That's extremely personal, isn't it? I'll tell you, I was looking while we were in California. I had my wide margin Bible with me, and I looked at it. And I was so blessed by it, I have to figure out what I'm going to do, whether I'm going to get it rebound or whether I'm going to put it away. But it is literally such a blessing to open it up and to see notes, Brother Leonard, and to see a little tear mark on the ink, amen, to know how God spoke to your heart there in that personal, quiet time with God. You need personal time with God every day. Especially if you have young children, you need quiet time with God every day. By the way, everybody does. Amen. Not only was it demonstrated publicly, but it was extremely personal. The method of her love. I want you to notice, secondly, the measure of her love. We see that it was an extravagant expense. Look at verse number 3. It says, Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, and as we often say, God does not put adjectives and adverbs in His Word just to fill space. It says there that it was very costly. Matter of fact, if you go down to verse 5, and here we have Judas, who says, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" A pence, a denarii, was basically one day's wage in Bible times. So Judas, knowing the value of things, looked at this and said, hey, we could have sold this for an entire year's salary. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. My friend, Brother R.B. Ouellette, he said this, cold-hearted people never can understand extravagant love. I remember when we were getting ready to go to Bible college that someone would say, why do you have to go all the way to Michigan to go to Bible college? I remember people saying things like, and perhaps you, why do you always spend all your time at that church? Hey, I know what you make and what you give. Why do you give all that money to missions? You know why? Cold-hearted people never can understand extravagant love. They never can understand it, amen. They never could understand that Mary wanted to break that box and just pour it. You know what else? It was not only an extravagant expense, it was an extravagant expression. Look again at verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You know what? She gave it all. She didn't hold back. She didn't just pour out a little bit, amen. She gave it all. Oh, that we had more Christians that, like Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That we would have more Christians that would say, God, I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. You know, when you hold back something from God, you're holding back from the only one that can do something good with your life. Amen. When you hold back something from God, you're holding back from the only one who can do something good with it, the measure of her love. It was an extravagant expense. It was an extravagant expression. The method of her love. It was demonstrated publicly. It was extremely personal. Number three, the motivation of her love. I think, first of all, the motivation was based on her own regeneration. She was thinking about how good God was to her. She was thinking about how good God had been in her life. And I'll tell you what, we'll get to loving Jesus a whole lot more if we get to remembering how good God's been in our life. The fact that He saved you, amen, from a devil's hell. And if that was all He did, He ought to be praised 24 hours a day, amen. He's worthy. Oh, I believe it was her own regeneration. But also, can we not forget her brother's resurrection? Go back just a page there, John 11:39, where Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, thank God, it's not hard for people to be saved. You know what God wants us to do? God wants us to roll the stones out of the way to get people saved. Amen. God wants us to roll that stone of baptism away. People think they need to be baptized to be saved. God wants us to roll the stone of joining a church to be saved, or making Him complete Lord of your life, or reading through your Bible every year. None of those things help somebody to get saved. They'll help somebody after their saved, amen, to be obedient. There's stones that need to be rolled away. And I can just imagine that Mary, as she's breaking that box, think, hey, there was just a couple days ago that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was bound came forth bound hand and foot in grave's clothes. Her brother that was dead came forth alive. Oh, praise God. It was her brother's resurrection. It was her own regeneration. You know what else I think motivated her to give it all? It was His coming redemption. If you look at verse 7, it says, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. She had a better understanding that Jesus was going to die than the disciples did. She knew that He was going to die and be resurrected. If you would, if you have time, just write these down. It's mentioned seven times in the Synoptic Gospels. Matthew 16:20, Matthew 17:22 and 23, Matthew 20, verses 18 through 19. And then it's mentioned twice in Mark, Mark 9:31, Mark 10:33 and 34, Luke 9:44, and Luke 18:31 and 32. What happened was Jesus told them, "I'm going to die." And you read those verses and you know what it says? Howbeit, they understood Him not. But Mary got it. Mary understood that that one that was going to die was going to be her Redeemer. Oh, praise God. Amen. Praise God. Listen, we serve not only our Savior, but we serve our Redeemer. The one who bought us back from the slave market of sin. Hey, boy, we ought to love Him. We ought to love Him, amen. Love Him enough to give our all. Huh. Disciples, they didn't see it. Who wouldn't want to give everything to the one who was going to be beaten and mocked, scourged, nailed to a cross for her sins and ours, and all God's people said? Oh, stories told of a man had a small church, an older farmer. He had had a daughter, and his wife had passed away, and he had spent his years with a broken heart raising that little girl. It was a small church, and by the way, God does great things at small churches, amen? And a man had come through and preached on consecration to the mission field, and this young lady surrendered to be a missionary to China. She said, "I believe God wants me to go to China." And so the time came where she was going to leave for China. And the pastor got up and not really knowing what to say, as many times pastors don't. We don't always have all the answers. Amen. He asked the father if he would like to say a word. And the father came up, kind of hunchback, shuffling. He made his way up to the platform and he said this: "Nothing's too good for my Jesus. And if He wants my Susie, He can have her." Well, a couple weeks later, the tragic news that the boat never made it to China. It went down at sea. And now instead of a sweet service, they had a bittersweet service for this young lady that had consecrated her life to the mission field. And again, the pastor, being at a loss for words, asked the father if he had anything to say. And the old man shuffled up to the platform and he said this: "Nothing I have is too good for my Jesus. If He wants my Susie, He can have her." The question is, what do you have that's too good for Jesus? What do you have that's keeping you from surrendering all that you are? You know, God may not want you to go to China or Africa, but He wants you to be willing. You say, "Well, I'm 70 years old." He still wants you to be willing. God may not want you to be a pastor. I heard a great statement from Brother Jack Treber. God's called everyone to either be a pastor or help a pastor. That's 100% true. Amen. God may not want you to leave. God may want you to stay in this church and work a job the rest of your life. But He wants you to be willing to do whatever He would have you do. Why? Because you love Him. "I want my children to obey me because they love me." Extravagant love. Father, we love You. Oh, we don't love You like